Go ahead and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 4. I'm going to talk about a seldom spoken of subject, you know, in churches anywhere. Hardly ever hear it mentioned in the Bible. It's a word called faith. You know, and even after you've been around a pretty good churches, can I say it that way? Good ones, you know, for 30 years like I have. I'm telling you what, living by faith does not come naturally to human beings. Human beings are programmed to believe what you see, to take what you feel as being the truth. I'm talking about whether it be emotional pain or physical pain. And that's the old man. And that's not all wrong. I mean, God gave us our five physical senses to navigate through this world. So I like to say it this way, if you're making a decision whether to cross the street, it's a busy street, you look to the right, and you look to the left, and to the left is a big giant city Tulsa, bus coming. You better live by what you see. Okay? Do not step out in front of the bus. Now that's the way that that's why he gave us the five physical senses, okay? But when it comes to the things of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It goes all the way back to Adam in the garden. It doesn't get any more complex than that. God says, if you eat the fruit of that tree, you're going to die. The devil says, if you eat the fruit of that tree, you won't die. You will not surely die. In fact, he starts making up lies about God. Says, if you eat of it, you're going to become like him. You won't have to listen to him anymore, tell you what's good and evil. You'll be like God yourself, and you can decide what's good and evil for yourself. And Adam was standing right there as this discussion is going on between the serpent and Eve. And then he's still standing there when she partook of the fruit, whatever it really was. And he's watching her. And she doesn't fall down dead. Now we know she spiritually died. But he didn't know that. He's just looking at her. She doesn't fall down dead. Now he's got, here it is. The whole fight of faith is summed up right here. He's got a choice now. He's got a choice. God's word told Adam, the day that you eat the fruit of that tree, the same day you'll die. Yet his five, not only his five physical senses, but he heard the devil say, the enemy says, no, you won't die. And then his five physical senses corroborate or agree with the statement of the devil. He watches his wife eat the fruit. She doesn't die. And he turns around. She turns around to him and says, here you go, honey. Here you go. And he made the choice right then. Now, let's don't minimize it. He made the choice. I have to make a decision here. Either God's a liar, or my five physical senses, what I'm seeing, hearing, feeling, and touching, is lying. Which one am I going to believe is true? I see my wife standing there. She ate the fruit. I can touch her. She's still alive. I have to make a judgment. I believe that what I see, what I perceive with my eyes, what I hear, what I touch, that is truth. And God's word is not. And there it is. That's why lack of faith in God's word was the way out of God's garden. It was the way out of all the blessings of God. And that's why now in our generation, the way back in to all the goodness of God and all the blessings is through that same door going the other direction. No matter what my eyes tell me, no matter what my physical senses tell me, I believe God's word. And faith is the doorway back in to every blessing of God. It does not get any more complicated than that. All right, turn to Romans 4. Normally when we teach out of Romans 4, this is the chapter on Abraham and how, in his particular case, we know the story well, God had made him a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. Yet, decade after decade went by, and him and Sarah didn't have any children, and now they're both roughly 100 years old, close to it, and she's past, it says, the Bible is so nice, it says, with her it was past the time of the way of women. All right, so we know in the natural, there's no hope in the natural for her. Plus, it gives us a little insight very nicely into Abraham's condition, because when she was told she was going to become pregnant, she laughed and says, probably took one look at the 100-year-old guy and went, am I going to have pleasure from my husband again? That's enough said. Okay. And yet God says, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child. And you already know this, the story. They already went through the natural way. Well, we're getting older. Perhaps he means you're to go in and sleep with my handmaiden. I noticed Abraham didn't resist that path very much. You know, maybe he did some. I don't know. Anyway, that was the biggest mistake they ever made, was trying to help God in the natural accomplish what can only be produced in the spiritual. Boy, we could do a whole series right there. That's every religion on earth trying to help God with what he alone has already done. Okay? All right. So we oftentimes go into this chapter 4 teaching the fundamentals of faith, and it's accurate to do that. And the particular illustration there was how Abraham believes God. You know, we'll just get a few of these, come down near to the end of the chapter. It says, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. Now, that, in other words, Abraham is believing according to God's word. I believe what God said. We're going to have this baby. Well, in the natural, there is no hope. So against that kind of hope, it says he believed in hope. What hope was that? It was the hope contained in God's word. You can be saved. You can be healed. You can be delivered. You can be prospered. Everything that God's word promises, see, you're going to have to come against natural hope, because usually there is none. You're going to have to get your hope from another source, and that hope is God's word. Then faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I haven't got even to the first point yet. Now notice, we teach this based on that promise, because it's a perfect example. So Abraham in the natural he saw it, he knew he was 100 years old, he knew his wife was 100 years old, but notice it says in verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Do you think that's easy? You ever tried to consider not your own body? What if you're in pain? It's not easy to consider not your own body. What if your wife is in pain? You got to do the same thing if you've already prayed in faith. One time the devil attacked my wife so hard. This was quite a few years ago. We were on a trip to Houston. And she in those days, she was more prone to get real serious headaches. She doesn't get them much anymore. Everyone say glory to God. Hallelujah. But boy, she had one then, and it was debilitating. It's the kind where you have like tunnel vision. You can't see, you know. And she said, you got to pray for me, because we're getting ready to go do a service. I said, so I did, boy, and I knew this time, headaches are not always the spirit involved, but the Holy Ghost just has a way of letting you know if one is. I knew this one was. I rebuked that thing. I said, you take your hands off of my wife, you come out of her in Jesus' name, and I mean now. And I just walked away. Went in there, you know, continued to get ready, and I don't know, 30 minutes went by. Come back to check on her, and she says, I said, how are you? She said, well, it hadn't changed. Everything in me wanted to go pray again. Maybe he didn't hear me the first time. Everything in me wanted to console my wife, because my wife was hurting. I love my wife. She's been putting up with me since the eighth grade. Are you kidding? This woman has great... God bless her is right. Putting up with... Think of the horror. The humanity. Anyway. Here's what I said. God help me. Because there she is. She's still in pain. Everything in me wants to console my wife. I turned around. I walked away. I said, devil, I am not impressed. Nice. I told you to come out. You'd have no choice. And I walked away. She said within 5 minutes, all the pain left. All the pain left. That is not easy. It's not easy. Everything that I am, everything that I love this woman. Everything that she means the world to me. But yet when it comes down to truth, what is truth? Jesus told us forever, Father, thy word is truth. You got that? Let's get back to Abraham here now. Now he's got this situation where God's given him a promise. But yet everything in the natural looks exactly opposite to it. Everything looks exactly opposite. Anyone ever been there? You ever prayed, you know? And it gets worse? Well, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, unable to reproduce, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, you get this? Who's going to perform it? What he, God, had promised? He, God, was able also to perform it. Now notice, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What does that mean? Because he believed God. Now see, we usually take this principle right here and apply it to whatever it is you're standing for in faith, and that is right to do. It's the same steps of our father Abraham. But tonight we're going to graduate to middle school. Now watch this. I want you to back up. What's the first law of meditation? Don't take anything out of context. What is the real subject here? If you take chapters 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, the whole teaching, what he's really teaching here is righteousness by faith. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Let me show you that now. Starting in chapter 4, verse 1, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, is found. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. Abraham did what?
Believe.
Abraham did what?
Believed God.
He believed God. What if Adam had done that? We wouldn't be in this mess. See, Abraham believed what God said, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now, that's what I wanted you to see. I could go on down through here. He talks about, well, maybe we'll read a little further. I want you to not everybody knows this. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that, what? Justifies who? God justifies the ungodly? Religion will never accept that. But it's the truth. God saw you at your worst, said, I love you. Son, will you die for him? That guy at his worst, son, will you? Jesus said, I will. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's in the same passage here. We used to read it all. It says, yet for a good man somebody might die. No. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Are you going to believe that? Or are you going to believe the next time you mess up? Who are you? We're graduating to middle school. What this passage is really talking about? Everything you've ever heard taught of about faith is accurate. You can apply it to healing. You can apply it to salvation. You can apply it to anything. But where he's leading us into this revival, in spite of your, I started to say ugly self, in spite of everything you see, in spite of how many times today, just today, you wanted to kill somebody, in spite of the number of times today you wanted the unlimited French fries section or the Krispy Kreme donut section, or no matter how unrighteous you were today, well, who are you? You're the righteousness of God in him. Does it mean you acted righteous today? No. Is there hope for you? Thank God. They're not going to take 1 John 1:9 away from me now. My Bible still says me, if I confess my sin before him, he is faithful not only to forgive me, but to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If he told Peter, you got to forgive that guy. And Peter says, till 7 times, would that be enough? And he says, no. How about 70 times 7? Meaning, Peter, you don't understand. It's unlimited, really. What God's looking for, he's not looking for a rebellious people that says, all right, a license to sin. He's looking for a people trying to find a way out of it. See, and he's provided that if the church ever preaches it. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can see here how he's really leading into this example of Abraham. He's talking about righteousness, how righteousness was accounted. Now, it was only accounted to Abraham. The difference, we have something much more than Abraham ever had. Davis taught it eloquently, talking about Abraham walking through the land to possess it. You know, you can see him walking through the desert, you know, and with his camels and whatever. And here comes the devil. He says, this is my land. How dare you walk through this land as though it belongs to you? You're just a sinner. Who said you could have this? Because, you know, the promise to Abraham also, he'd be the heir of the world. The devil says, this is my ground. Who says you could walk here? And he said, just a minute. Let me get my wallet out. You remember he starts going through, he says, Visa, no, that won't work. American Express, no, that won't work. He goes through all of them, Diners Club, no. Ah, here it is. The master charge card. Just charge all my sin to the master who's coming. And I'm possessing this land based on his righteousness, which has been accounted to me.
Hallelujah.
Now, that right there is enough to serve Jesus till the day you die. Just the fact that you have been given this robe of righteousness. But now here's the thing. If you could see Abraham clothed with that robe of righteousness, or anybody under the old covenant, they still at their core was a sin nature. So it's like a robe of righteousness, but you didn't want to peek under there. Ah, sinner. Ah. No, I don't mean in a bad way. I'm just saying, you know, because like, and that's what religion keeps telling you you are. That you're still just that same old sinner. Clothed with righteousness. But that is exactly old covenant salvation. That's the big difference between what they have and what we have. And it's leading up to Romans 8. And we're not going to go there right now, but it's leading up to Romans 8 saying, look, that old guy in Romans 7, Romans 7 is the guy like anybody under the old covenant, anybody who had been given God's law, and with their mind they want to keep it. Anyone ever been there? Anyone ever made a New Year's resolution? See, this is why we keep identifying. We keep thinking we're the guy in Romans 7, but we're really the guy in Romans 8.
That's right.
See, but we identify with it because we make a New Year's resolution. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And works for pretty good for 3 or 4 weeks, and then you're back to normal. See? But the thing of it is, that same pattern is happening us in our walk. And that is affecting our talk. And that is affecting what we believe. And that is affecting the anointing that we're walking in. You summed it up, but okay. Middle school, not master yet. Okay. All right, now so he's talking about those tongues and interpretation. I can interpret it if you want me to. That kind there, he's putting a check on me as the teacher. I was about to make a point that I haven't really established the case yet. Okay? So he's saying, slow down and read the book. That's the interpretation. All right? But to him, okay, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now notice this. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, boy, that'd be something. Somebody to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision or the Jews only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? This all happened before he was circumcised. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He received the sign as a seal. Now, we can come up to that same passage, but I want you to come, let's go near the end of where I was reading earlier. You see that righteousness is the subject? Can you see that? All right, come on down. We're going to pick it up where I left earlier in Romans 4. Verse 20, Abraham, talking about Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone. What wasn't written? That it was imputed to him for righteousness. That it was, that tells you there. Not that it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. What's he wanting us to believe? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, meaning the price has been paid. All right? Therefore, being justified by faith, faith in what? What do you have to have faith in? He paid the price for me. The very fact that God raised him from the dead means that that price had been totally paid once and for all. Now it's the beginning of a whole new species. We could go into that. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how many don't? Because they keep getting hammered from the pulpit, being made to, you know, feel guilty all the time. And the whole walk there, and what happens from the pulpit, they're getting you to focus on the very thing that Abraham had to not focus on. They're getting you focused on your old man, the one that's supposed to be in the grave, instead of focusing on God's Word, which is where you get the power to walk in the new creature that you really are. Preachers are real good at that. See, now let's go over to Romans 6 for just a minute. And I remember, boy, I've been hammered a lot out of this passage in the old days. Because they never did really teach the born again trail. I had no concept. My thinking for the first 15 years, probably walking as a Christian, was I'm pretty much just that same old sinner, saved by grace and doing the best I can. And thank God for 1 John 1:9. You know, thank God for that. And if that's where you're walking, well, thank God. How many is thankful that 1 John? They're going to take 1 John 1:9 away from you, and I'm going to take it away from me. Thank God the blood is on that mercy seat for me. If I have to go there 70 times 7, every hour I'm going. Okay. But now watch this. See, there's power in chapter 6, but you got to leave religion to get it. Because if we had time to go chapter, you know, verse by verse, if we really had time to do that, he's laying the case for walking who you really are. God has done a miraculous thing. He has changed the spots on the leopard. See, it's the thing that man couldn't do. A leopard can't change his own spots, and man by his works, there's nothing man can do to change his nature. So God did for us what man could not do for himself, and it's all free by grace, and that's the very message we have to receive. But if you only receive part of it, which is pretty much the denomination I grew up in, they will teach the cross accurately. They will get you born again. But then, and trusting in the blood of Jesus. I remember asking my good old Baptist daddy. I said, "Daddy, how you plan on getting to heaven?" He said, "By the blood of Jesus and no other way." I said, "Good answer, Daddy." See? That's a good answer. Hey, if the thief on the cross made it, glory to God, there's grace for me. Amen? But see, where God is calling us to walk, he's calling us to walk in something that we've never walked in before. Because if your understanding stops right there with a Old Testament mentality and you understand, yes, he paid the price for me. Yes, he clothed me with his righteousness. But the next Sunday they teach you, yeah, but you're still that old sinner saved by grace. And now you've got the mentality that you're, well, don't peek underneath this robe. There's this old sinner under there, you know, I'm still that ugly old guy I always was. And to keep looking at everybody around you. And worse than that, if you keep looking at how you react to everybody around you, you're probably going to believe that. It's easier to believe that than to believe what the Bible says, because have you noticed everybody is not walking in love? Has anyone noticed that but me? Have you noticed that you don't always walk in love yourself? I've noticed that about me too. You know, there's an old song that I don't believe. It says, something about, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. No, they didn't. Your body didn't change. Your spirit went from death to life. You got the same hands and the same body. You got the same strongholds in your brain before and after. But what you have is a new nature. That's what He gave you. And you've got His Word and you've got the Holy Ghost as your teacher. Glory to God, see? But what's happened to us, because even though we're truly born again, we're really God's child. And underneath that robe, really, in the spirit, there is a new creature that never existed before. And I'll show you that in Romans 6. Now, see, it used to just baffle me. And y'all know the particular battle I was going through at the time. I'm going to use it because it's easy to see it. I was smoking like a freight train. I had been smoking for decades. I had tried everything in the world to quit. I was preaching already and still smoking, you know, and I was apologizing. I'd call them ahead of time. I smoke. Can I still come and preach? Some of them said no. Some of them said yes, and I didn't blame them for saying no. One time I was trying so hard. One time I was chewing nicotine gum, had a nicotine patch on each arm, and had to pull over in between services for a smoke break. But anyway, I was addicted. And so I'm trying to understand Romans 6. Now, see, you preach that, and you go, your righteousness is by faith. Your righteousness is by faith. And if you're not careful, you cross over into the ultimate grace camp. Oh, well, it's all grace. It doesn't matter how I live. Oh, I can just continue to be an adulterer and a extortioner and a thief. And because it's all by grace, Brother Gary, I came to that Sunday night service. I only listened to the first 20 minutes of it. And I heard you say, it's not by works. I heard you say that. Didn't you say it? Yes, I did. But then we got into Romans 6. See, and this is the part that religion really has a problem with, right here, Romans 6. Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we... Now, here's a little phrase for you. That are dead to sin, live any longer therein. Now, get the picture. I'm reading this. I'm trying to comprehend this. Puff, puff. You know, and I know you don't go to hell just over cigarettes, but I also know you shouldn't be addicted to them. See, and I was addicted. I knew I was addicted. I'm not justifying the things. I just didn't know how to get free, you know. Besides, they kept telling me I was an old sinner saved by grace anyway. There's a lot of power there. Anyway, but it says here, I'm dead to it, dead to sin. Puff, puff. And know you not, and I'm going, I guess I don't. That so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Now, we're talking a lot of years ago, and I did not understand very well that I had become this new creature. I was just beginning to try and comprehend it. Dave was taking us down the born-again trail at the time. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, walk in newness of life means you walk different than you did when you was deadness in life. He's talking about a different walk. You should walk, not just positional truth, but somehow that positional truth makes it to your limbs of your tree, and the fruit changes. See? The fruit changes. And I'm puffing away. I'm going, you know... And come on, I don't have time to do this line by line. Come on down to verse 7. I'm puffing this. He says, verse 6, knowing this. I'm going, I don't guess I know this. Puff. I mean, I used to smoke so much in that ugly building. I'd pray. A cloud would fill the building. It wasn't the Shekinah glory now. Poor old Brad walked in there one time. I thought he was going to go out, but it wasn't in the spirit. It was, good God, you know. I'd open the door in the wintertime. You got to keep the door shut, you know. I'd open that door and a cloud would escape. Anyway. And I'm trying to comprehend this at the time. Now, I'm going to laugh at me. I'm going to turn it on you in a minute. Knowing this, you got to know this, that our old man, what old man? Your physical flesh? No, it's that sin nature, the Adamic nature, the guy that you got from Adam when you was born out of your mother's womb, when you came into the earth by the water canal, you know, birth by water. That guy is crucified with Christ. With Him, it says, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And I'd go, I'm puffing away in my cigarette. And I went through Romans 6 line by line. You know me in confession. I made it into a positive present tense now confession. I'm out there puffing away, walking around the yard. I'm dead to sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. And then I'm making all these confessions, and I'm just in a, you know, chewing the nicotine gum, wearing the patches, getting in prayer lines. Marilyn Hickey stepped on my lighter and threw my cigarettes away. I don't know how many times I've done this. The only thing that does is make you buy more cigarettes and lighters on the way home.
Exactly.
You know, or maybe you made it till the next morning, but that's about it. And I'm going, God, I'm going through there. It says here, I'm freed. He that is dead is free from sin. And I said it out of my mouth. God, do you understand the only evidence I have for that is your word? As soon as I said it. As soon as I said it, I knew I was in trouble already. I'm just, sure enough, here it come. And that's all the evidence you need. Well, looking back on it now, see, I was going through the fight of faith of my life. I was going through it. I was going to have to do exactly what Abraham did. Consider my body dead. You ever tried, see, and people that's never really been addicted to anything, I know they have trouble with this. If you've never experienced withdrawals, I mean, it feels like it feels somehow that your skin is crawling on your bones. I mean, it is difficult now. It is difficult. Your emotions go crazy. Fasting comes close. Fasting is a taste of that, but it gets worse even, you know. But anyway, I had to start confessing and confessing. But it's no different than what Abraham had to do. He had to do the same thing. He had no evidence in the natural. He looked in the mirror. He didn't look at his hands and they looked new, and he looked at his feet and they did too. No, he's looking at this 100-year-old prune snuggled up against another 100-year-old prune. In the natural, it looks like there's no way, you know. You know, wink, wink. Hey, honey, forget it. Yeah. But it says Abraham staggered not. He refused to consider his circumstances. He staggered not. He considered not his own body against natural hope where there was none. He considered hope that came from God's word. And sure enough, through that process, see, the important part of that Romans 4, back up to it again just for a moment. Yes, sir. Yes, verse 21. He became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, here it comes. Do you believe God's word or do you not? I mean, for the purpose of the class, say, I believe, Brother Gary.
I believe.
You know it says that you have been made the righteousness of God in him. You know that you have been given a nature from God. There is a creature on the inside of you that hates iniquity. And it loves righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now, to all varying degrees, people are walking at all different levels. Ultimately, what I'm preaching about is revival. Because we're not going to walk in what he's called us to walk in unless we believe we are who he says we are. And that we have what he says we have. And that we can do what he says we can do. All of that comes from hearing God's word. And the devil is literally hell-bent on making sure that we never do that. How does he do it? Getting you to look at how you are. Getting you to look in the mirror at your own faults. Getting you to notice everybody else's faults. At this church, you had a nice week. Maybe this was one of those good weeks. You actually prayed. You actually came to all the services. You made confession. You did good this week. You gave into the offerings. You did really good. And right near the end of the week, you lost your temper at somebody. Or you blared the horn at somebody who cut you off in traffic. Or you did something that you are ashamed of. And here comes the devil. Here comes the accuser. And he's going, now, I want you to live by what you see. I want you to live by what you feel. See, you're not really changed. You know you're not really his child. You're not really who he says you are. You're going to have to be just like that first man, Adam. You're going to have to believe what you see, what you feel, even in your emotions, instead of God's word. That is the fight of faith that we're in today. We're going to have to be just like Abraham. Consider not. Now, does that mean that you walk ugly? You walk in sin? No. We're striving against sin. Hebrews tells you, it says, Jesus strove against disobeying God to the point of it brought physical blood to his body. He sweat great drops of blood striving against sin. Sure, we're supposed to strive against sin, but we got to understand we haven't received our glorified bodies yet. Now, the day's going to come. He didn't either at that point, by the way. You have a nature on the inside of you that wants to please God, wants to believe God, wants to serve God. In truth, you are his child with God's nature. That is the promise that we have believed, we have received. But now to walk in that, the transformation that comes to our walk, yes, sir, like the same way it came to Abraham and Sarah's walk. See, he had to do it. Abraham trusted what he had promised. He was able to perform. There was nothing they could do to change their own body. They had to trust if we keep believing his word, he will change us. That's what God has done for us. He's put his nature on the inside of us. It's the very nature of Christ and what he has promised. We are able to walk in it if we have that same faith as Abraham. Doubt not. Quit looking at our circumstances. Quit looking at us and trust in his word. And it is accounted to us for righteousness like it was accounted for him. Hallelujah. I want to listen to that part again myself. That was good right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who are you? You're not who religion wants you to think you are. You're not who the devil wants you to think you are. You are the offspring of the Almighty God, born of his Spirit, anointed with the Holy Ghost to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with you. And if in that journey you have to go to 1 John 1:9, 70 times 7 in a day, so what? So what? Don't let your confession change. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? The just shall live by faith and not by sight. That's how you do it. But boy, it's hard. It's hard. The easy thing to do is just slip back into normal Christianity. Well, I am who I am. You know how I am. Well, we do. He does too. He loves you. We love you. The good news is he loves you too much to leave you like you are. Boy, that's good news to me. And if I exercise the same kind of faith that Abraham did, his power will change me the same way it changed them. I don't know what Abraham confessed exactly. I know a little bit. He called himself the father of many nations. And he saw the picture that God painted for him in the sky, you know. Behold all the stars. Look at that. Don't be looking at that empty crib over there. Don't be looking at all your years of barrenness. Anyone feel like they've had years of barrenness, you know? Don't be looking at that. You look only at what I tell you, and you say what I tell you. Now, as he's going through these confessions, I hope I can say this yet. See, at this point, we know we have been declared righteous. Abraham knew God had declared him to be the father of many nations. But when it says he trusted that what God had promised, he was able to perform. He knew God had to change him. God had to change, in this case, his physical body and Sarah's physical body. Now get this. The real passage there is us believing that we have been made righteous. So say it with me. Father, I know. And I believe that you have declared me to be righteous with the righteousness of Christ. But Father, this night, my faith moves to a new level. Like Abraham, I am trusting that what you promised, you are able to perform. You've not only declared me to be righteous. Tonight I'm putting my faith in you. That you can cause me to walk.
that you can cause me to walk
as the righteous person.
As the righteous person
you declared me to be.
You declared me to be.
Hallelujah.
What you have promised.
What you have promised.
You are able to perform.
You are able to perform.
I am a righteous person.
I am a righteous person.
By the finished work of Jesus Christ.
By the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Not only declared righteous.
Not only declared righteous.
But made righteous.
But made righteous.
And I walk.
And I walk.
As a righteous person.
As a righteous person.
Because of your work in me.
Because of your work in me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, that's good, isn't it? That's really the faith that what you have promised, you're able to perform. Even me, you can cause me to walk. Even I love me. I like real people. Even me, you can cause me, to walk as he walked.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I think we better. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What you've promised, you're able to perform it. You're able to perform it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, I feel something. I feel something. I feel like Elijah. He says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Glory to God. Something's coming. Something good is coming. Glory to God. Woo. It's good stuff. Is that feeding you? Is that something just chewing that up and really liking that? Glory to God.